بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. فرام می بی بی عائشہ لہے آن یوتھ ٹاک آن ریڈیو اسلام انٹرنیشنل میڈ ویو 1548 ڈی ایس ٹی وی 826 اینڈ آلسو سمر کاسٹ آن سیریس ایف ایم 105.7. دس مارننگ وی آر گوئنگ ٹو بی ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ پری اسکولز پلے وتھ ا پرپز. ناؤ in today's time, because of safety reasons, because of the pressures of time, children don't really get the opportunity to go outside and play. Most of them are sitting in their homes, busy with tablets, busy with their computers, and not really having a lot of quality time going out to socialize, going to develop their gross motor skills, and the problems arise when children start at school. Yet sometimes we forget that when children begin preschool, it is the first step towards their formal education, and we forget how important preschool really is. Yes, it's play, yes, it's fun, yes, it's creative, there's painting, there's drama, there's lots of drawing, there's lots of crafts, but every activity that is carried out in a preschool classroom leads to another step that helps in the development for your child. Now again, we think it may be a little bit late in the year to be doing such a topic because many parents have already selected the preschool for their children, but then again, there are other parents that are still wondering, where should I put my child? Remember, as much as grade 1 is the so-called formal schooling year of your child's education career, do not underestimate ever the importance of preschool. So with me in studio, I have Mrs. Hasina Mohammed, who is the principal of a local government school here in Lanesia. And next to her, I have Ms. Preeti Manga, who is the head of department of the foundation phase at the same school. Welcome to Radio Islam, ladies.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Bibi Aisha.
Okay, to our parents that are listening out there, to all our listeners, sometimes we forget the importance of preschools and how all aspects of development are catered for in a preschool. So, Madam Hasina, could you just please explain to the parents why is preschool and early childhood learning so important?
Well, Bibi Aisha, first, assalamu alaikum to all the listeners. And it's good to be here today on this cold morning in Malaysia. And thank you so much for having us.
Oh, your pleasure. Yeah. I know your passion for education, so you would never say
indeed. No, indeed. I'm coming from a background where I actually qualified as a early childhood development educator. That's my specialist, specializing subject. So I'm very passionate about foundation phase, about early childhood development, and that's what preschool is all about. It's early childhood development, and it's very, very important for all children to go through that those aspects, to be part to be part of a preschool when starting off. I know a lot of parents in the past we found that they don't want to put their children in preschool. They feel that, no, I need a little more time with my child at home. Mm-hmm. I will prepare my child. There's nothing that preschool can do. But nowadays, the grade R or preschool is structured. There is a curriculum for it, and there's a reason why. Like you said, in terms of technology, when a child is born, the child is basically the first thing we make our children aware of, and we're also proud of it at the age of 3, at the age of 2, that my child can use a cell phone, my child can use a tablet, my child can get onto that type of devices. But we find more and more the child is sitting in front of that. You find also, as far as television is concerned, in some certain homes, if there's a television there, then it's basically a glorified babysitter, the television.
Yes.
So we basically put our children in front of it, and we are doing more harm to that child. The children don't get a chance to play, to go into that fantasy world and things. And that is what the curriculum is all about in grade R or in preschool.
Let me say also, they're very able to use technology, but they can't even tie a shoelace.
No, definitely. Definitely. So all these things are being done in grade R. And they are playing, they're fantasizing, because children learn through play.
Mm-hmm.
They learn through fantasizing. And also it gives them, it develops them physically, because sometimes we think that our child has been developed, because he can walk. But there are some certain kids that don't even get a chance to crawl.
That is true.
Because a lot of our parents don't want the kids to get dirty. Playing with sand is one of the things that is most important for a pre-grade R child.
Most important.
So
yeah.
Those are the things that are in the curriculum in grade R. They have sand play, they have water play, they have fantasy play. So all those things are in the grade R, and they get to do those things. And we find that if a child misses on those steps of development, when a child gets to grade 1, grade 2, and a child is actually, have to to the actual curriculum in terms of reading, writing, things, that's where we pick up that the child has missed certain steps.
Because they're having difficulty with the coordination.
Yeah, and so when you dive into it further and you try and get to the bottom of it, we have discovered, we especially have like a learning therapist that would come in, and when a learning therapist works with that child, we discover that that child didn't go through that crawling
through those developmental
stages. And when working with them through that, you find that the child picks up, and automatically the child, a simple thing like completing sentences, completing homework in a class, or any written aspect in a classroom, the child is struggling with it. We find lots of kids like that. But the moment they go through this, we find that they perform better, and automatically they start to perform better in classes.
And yet if they had that opportunity for purposeful play when they were younger in, you know, grade art, it would have made it much easier.
Definitely.
Ms. Manga, can you please elaborate when we talk about catering for all aspects of development in a preschool classroom?
Hi. Thank you, Bibi Aisha, and good morning to your listeners.
Thank you.
I think in terms of catering for the grade art, like Madam has said, it's just to add on that it has become such an important aspect in the development of our children that it's the right step to take in terms of setting straight the records. Little things like sitting straight in your chair, how to use the correct materials, how to handle your materials. And it's not just about drawing and coloring and things like that. It's the pre-training towards the bigger things, towards comprehending skills, towards reading skills, mathematical skills, and all those other things that don't just happen when you suddenly reach grade one.
Exactly.
They build in blocks, and sometimes when you miss a block, obviously the tower is going to collapse. And it may not collapse in the beginning stages, but it can have an effect later on. Even sometimes you may not see it through primary school years, and it comes out in high school.
Yeah.
And it's never too late to remedy, but it could have been done earlier.
Much more earlier. Also, we forget about the social aspect. I mean, if a child is an only child, if a child is, la lat la marki, so to speak, they need to interact with other children their age, and in school, that's where they would learn.
Yes.
Learning to share.
That's the beginning steps. Ideally, like Piaget, the psychologist, says, there's an egocentric stage, and there's a reason for that. So between the ages of up till about 4 or 5, children are not supposed to actually be sharing, but they're learning to. And when they get to preschool, that's when the beginning steps of learning to share start. So if you looked at if you go into a preschool classroom, like Mary Masina would visit her preschool class, and you'd find the children talking, but there's 4 of them around the table, all having their own conversation. But they're talking.
They're all talking
and they're engaging with each other. But those are beginning steps.
Definitely. Also, choosing the right preschool for your child, what would be your advice to the listeners? Often we have play schools, we have informal schools, and then when the children come to grade one and they seem to be having a bit of difficulty, and when having parent-teacher interviews, the parent is like, but my child did exceptionally well in the preschool. And then later you realize that maybe the preschool wasn't registered, or maybe there wasn't a structured curriculum. What happens then?
That is absolutely true, Bibi Aisha, because we found that when we take a child in grade one, and especially like in the past, I can say that over the past 2-3 years that the dynamics has changed. The Department of Education has basically ensured that they are all preschools are basically registered. So I know most of the preschools in Indonesia is registered. There may be one or two that is getting away with it, that isn't registered. And then also in terms of that, it is important for you to choose a preschool where the teachers have gone through some training. You know, a lot of in the past, a lot of preschools, it's basically the housewives that have established these preschools and things like that. And although they tried, they need to get in touch with the education department or get in touch with other schools and things like that. And they got to develop themselves. It's important, because you need to know when you go through specialized training. In the ECD, if you're going to do psychology, which is very important, we all do psychology. And if you're training as an ECD, a foundation phase educator, and grade R and preschools are part of the foundation phase, you basically have to do psychology. And that's important for the beginning stages of a child's life. It's in fact, it's important we do it right through. If you're becoming a teacher, you've got to do psychology, where you learn to develop, you learn about the emotional states, the physical development, and things like that. So it's important for people to go through that to be able to, you know, develop the children. So I would say that choose a preschool where the teachers have been trained, where they are basically linked to the Department of Education. They're following the same curriculum that is, you know, that is...
the CAPS curriculum.
Yeah, basically the CAPS curriculum. And, yeah, that's the type of preschool you need to choose for a child. Because don't choose creches. Creches are not... They are daycare centers and creches. There's a difference. You need to know there's a difference between a daycare and a creche, as opposed to a grade R. So make sure you find out all those details from, you know, from, you know, whichever organization you're visiting.
You want to go to,
yeah, that you want to go to. Find out about that and make sure that your child is getting, you know, the proper education, the beginning development, you know, the proper first development of a child.
Curriculum,
yeah.
It's a continuation from grade R to grade 1. So it makes the transition going into grade 1 much easier. Kamiramanga is foundation phase, head of department. Please, if you can take us through a day in a preschool classroom and the importance of following a structured curriculum.
The normal day starts, well, most preschools, especially that are based at a school site, they start normally at the same, around the same time that the school day starts. So what they normally do is they come into class and they pack their bags and they're given pigeonholes, which is set such that each of the kids either have their names on it or a picture that they identify with for a reason. It's a stepping stone towards learning to read. And they subsequently place their bags there and then they have a little bit of free time, what the teacher would call free time. And then when the formal day starts, teacher would normally start with a morning ring. The morning ring is where we just discuss things. We would talk about the day before, after we'd left school or the weekend and things like that. And then they move into the areas. So the class is divided into portions and each group, so to speak, is set into different corners of the classroom where they're doing different things. So maybe today the five of us are painting, the other five are matching pictures, and another five may be coloring. And then those groups get rotated. That's a bit of a formal work. Thereafter, they have time to go out and play for a purpose and a reason. The jungle gym is important. The sand pit is important because those little muscles, those big muscles, all need to be developed for a reason. Thereafter, they have their eating time and their break time. Then they have time again where they go and they play. The classrooms have a fantasy corner. Not just for show, it's there for a purpose. Nine out of 10 times, even little ones at home, you would notice, imitate everything mommy does. Most parents say, she never plays with the toys we've bought, and we bought her these Lego blocks, and she's always in my pots and in my cupboards. That's because that's their first role model. They see you in the kitchen, they don't see you with Lego blocks.
Exactly. And that's what they're doing in their fantasy corner, they're role playing the people in their life.
So if you went into the preschool classroom, like Madam and you, Bibasha, you would know that we have a small oven and a microwave and all that. And there's a reason for that. They go and they act out their day there.
You know, the reason Madam Manga has just mentioned that is I did start my career in education as a grade R teacher first. So when I needed to teach grade 1, in fact, when I started teaching, they put me into grade 3, and I'm like, how am I going to manage these big children? And then I got so used to grade 3 and grade 2 and the level of maturity that when I was asked to do grade 1 again, and I'm like, how am I going to do this? And funny enough, my head of department at the time told me, but you taught grade R. It's a continuation. You will manage. And you would be amazed at how different it is when you teach in a grade R class. They always say, preschool educators can make something out of nothing. Preschool educators, in fact, foundation phase teachers as well, but let's just concentrate on preschool for today, are very creative, very innovative, because although you can have a set curriculum, whatever happens on that day, you just need to be ready. You're working with 30 children, maybe 20 children, maybe 40 children, and you just need to go with the flow and make sure there's order. Am I correct?
For sure. Yeah. It's much like mixing cement for the day. And sometimes you get a little extra water, and you've got to find a way of getting rid of that extra water. And some days you have a little extra stone in there. You must find a way of getting rid of that stone.
Definitely.
To create a balance. And a good balance.
And a good balance. And then, you know, when we say play with the purpose, you know, when it comes to formal writing, sometimes we hear a parent say, but my child's in preschool and he or she is already reading. And then maybe another parent will say, but my child's not reading yet. My child will, you know, read a bit later. Please, Madam Messina, Madam Manga, could you please assist us there? Because when it comes to formal writing and reading in preschool, it is done by the way, it's an extension. I mean, we can't expect children to be reading already in January and February. Am I correct?
I think we must understand what the concept of reading means. Every child can read. Even your one-year-old reads. Because they all identify brand names.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely.
They all identify car badges. Mm-hmm. If you've exposed them to it. If you visited BP Garage all the time, that's the logo they're going to understand and relate to with petrol. Mm-hmm. But how many can comprehend? And that is the difference. So, yes, they know their set words. Yes, they're able to identify their set words on the flashcards that mommy has created or the teacher has created. But are they able to manipulate those set words into constructive sentences and to use it in everyday conversation meaningfully? Not just by the way, because sometimes you would hear children have learnt a big word and then they've repeated that word so cutely. Mm-hmm. Like a simple word like retrenchment can be mistaken for retirement. Sometimes I had a case in grade one some years ago, very early in the year, and sadly the TV was repossessed. And the child had taken that word and said, yeah, but tomorrow when they repossess the TV from the classroom, I don't think we're not in a situation like that. But those are the things. He learned that word. He heard that word. But what did it mean?
Exactly.
So there's a meaning that must be attached to words, and that is reading.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that tight vocabulary all children are able to do.
Yes, but how many can comprehend what they have read?
Big difference. Yes. The other thing is also with formal writing in grade R, you know, we can't expect such young children to be writing in between the lines and writing perfectly. Please elaborate on that also, because there's stages.
Ideally, you know that children learned through patterns. Mm-hmm. Right? And where did those patterns start from? That sandbox is there for a purpose. They learn to write those letters in the sand so that they feel. Remember, we learn through our senses. Mm. That's why when babies first start learning, everything goes in the mouth because they learn from their mouth.
Yeah.
And we learn from all our senses. So when they learn to scribble the letter in the sand or learn eventually that which I wrote in the sand and that texture that it felt I can now put onto paper is the beginning steps. There are no lines. That's why you'd find 9 out of 10 times, preschools are always looking for scrap paper. There's a reason for that, because there's no boundary to it.
And also, Madam Manga, they're learning the letters and the alphabets through clay, you know?
Yes.
When they roll the clay and then they make the alphabets with the clay through art. When they're busy with art,
they form the letters
and things like that. So, yes, that's how they would do it in the grade R. And it's accidental learning. Grade R is accidental learning. So everything is a learning process in the grade R. So whatever activity they do is basically, the child is basically learning. And what is fascinating, I just want to come back to the reading aspect. What is fascinating about grade R is that you find that, first of all, the teachers, lots of storytelling where the teacher reads and the children follow. And, you know, now we've got those big books and things so the kids would follow the pictures. But what's interesting for me, I happened to walk into one of the grade R classes. And there the kids were with their books. And I was I looked at them and I said, can you read? And they were all eager. Yes, we can. I said, okay, read to me. And they took this colorful book and started telling me page by page the story.
Yes.
They made their own story looking at the picture. And it was close to the story. So that was the accidental reading that was taking place
exactly.
there. So that's where that's their reading. So that's important. It's not whether they know the actual word there and can identify the actual word. It's what they can understand from the picture. And that's where comprehension comes
in. That's your pre-reading.
That's your pre-readings and your comprehension.
Okay, what we're going to do is, we're going to be returned after the break. If you have any questions, please do call us on 011-854-1548. We will be back shortly, inshallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. You're back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Radio Islam International and Simulcast on Sirius FM. This morning we're talking about preschools play with a purpose, and I have with me in studio Mrs. Sina Mohammed, who is the principal of a local school here in Indonesia, as well as Ms. Preeti Manga, who is the head of department of the foundation phase at the very same school. Please, if you have any questions for our guests in studio, call us on 011-854-1548. Okay, ladies, you know, we covered a lot of the aspects of a preschool, the day in the classroom, what goes on in the classroom, the importance of preschool. Now it comes to this question for parents and educators in grade R. It's almost the end of the year. Sometimes, you know, parents feel, okay, you know, I'm getting my child ready for grade one. I've enrolled my child in grade one. And then maybe you have an interview with the teacher, and the teacher speaks to you, probably has been speaking to you throughout the year, and telling you, I know your child is six or turning six and needs to go into grade one, but physically, but emotionally, there are some concerns and we think your child should repeat. So if you can elaborate for me on school age ready versus developmentally ready for grade one. Madam Sina?
Yes, Bibi Aisha, that is one of the challenges that we do face these days. You find that the kid has gone through grade R, but the child still, the child is not ready for grade 1. And I mean, who's better to know this than obviously the grade R educator that has worked with the child throughout the year. And yes, the child may be of age, ready, you know, of age, but when it comes to the physical development and the emotional development of their child, the child may still not be ready. So that is where maybe another year in grade R will assist the child. And we try to advise the parent, but a lot of parents I know are reluctant because they feel that their children are going to be falling behind. But I must say that we've been now I've been in a teaching profession for 30 years, next year it would be. And I must say that over the years, I've discovered that there was a period where grade one children were the age for grade one was 7 years, and from my experience, my personal experience, I'm going to say that definitely the child who is age seven, starting grade one, turning seven in grade one, performs and copes better than the child who is turning six in grade one. Mm-hmm. So we found that happening. And for a while when that happened at that stage, everyone accepted it. But then now because the Department of Education brought set the age a year earlier and things like that, parents feel that, no, my child is turning six and my child is going to lose out. Mm-hmm. Your child is not going to. 1 year in a child's life, if you sacrifice that 1 year, in the long run, you're going to find it better. I'm speaking from experience as a mom.
Yes.
It happened to my child that year. He was in preschool, and then the acceptance age for grade one was changed to seven. Okay, I didn't let him repeat grade R again, but I said, because he spent a whole year in grade the same, but I kept him behind. I didn't let him go. I didn't force the issue of him going to grade one.
Mm-hmm.
I kept him, at home, and he played and he enjoyed himself and took him for different activities and things like that. But when I have to compare him, I never regretted it because he managed better at school. I didn't have to sit with him, with homework or with issues and things like that throughout his his learning career and things like that.
But emotional,
so I found that he was more emotional. You could handle things better. Even in his youth, he could handle things better than as opposed to the other children. So, yes, that is a very important aspect that we need to consider. And parents need to consider it. So get the advice. If the teacher says it, take it for that. And, say another year, work with the child, and you will not regret it. And I know there's a number of parents that we've sat down. Initially, they were upset and things like that. But eventually, as they got to realize, they themselves came back and said, you know what, ma'am, I'm happy that I kept let my child repeat grade R. I'm happy about that.
And when we observe that those child become, those children become high performers in the formal foundation phase, you realize that you made the right decision. Yes. But Ms. Manga, again, you know, we're talking about school age ready versus developmentally ready. Now, again, we're talking a lot about the emotional aspect. You know, your child could be a high flyer. Well, you assume so, because when you're working with your child, it's one-on-one. But when they, with those other 40 or 30 children, and they're having lots of coping skills, how would they manage grade one?
I think the trend these days, you would notice, even in the broader sector, is the EQ, emotional
quotient.
Yes, as compared to IQ.
Yes.
Right? Previously, I think when we grew up, our folks focused on the IQ, and not the EQ. Mm. But now we've realized over time that the two must gel. And just like our five fingers, not all of us develop at the same stage. Mm. So at seven, I may not have performed the same way that you, Bibi Aisha, or you, Mary Masina, would perform at seven. Mm. And that's important to remember, that we must reach a milestone, but we do it in a stride. And for whatever reason, if you don't reach that milestone, we've evolved in this in this time now where we are, that there is help for it.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that my child is not going to succeed in life. If you do something about it now, and if you put out a feeler, you would get help for it. There's so much of assistance out there now, that if I didn't learn to do something in my early childhood, there is time for me still, before a certain age, yes,
mm-hmm.
to be able to catch up with my so-called peers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important that we don't compare children.
Yes.
Like I said, I at seven and you at seven are not exactly the same. We don't function at the same level, and we must accept that also.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, some seven-year-old physical body is functioning mentally at the age of a five-year-old. There's nothing wrong with it. It can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of having to be school ready, yes, the age advised is that. But is my child EQ ready for being in a school setup? Because a school setup is demanding.
It is. It is very demanding. And then also when they have this emotional difficulty in settling in the classroom, obviously it's going to hamper the academic performance. They're going to not want to come to school. They're going to find a challenge with everything that they do. They're tired all the time. They want to sleep. They're still sucking on their thumbs.
Yeah.
They cuddle onto their teachers because they miss their mom. You know, that those are all signs that your parents need to look out for.
And there's nothing saying that, madam, even you would agree, that we can't go and find out from a better source if my child is school ready.
Yes, absolutely.
And that help is available today. It's not like when 30 years ago where mommy said, now you're 5 years old.
You have to go. Yes, yeah. No, definitely. And I think very good that you brought up the point of comparing. But sometimes when parents probably would be advised to keep their child behind, they'll say, but the other children in the family are starting grade one, what are they going to think? Not important.
It's your child. We worried about this being, and let's put focus on this being, not what is around and what is common to all. We're not in a commonality.
Of course.
We're dealing with one particular aspect and one individual.
Okay, you're going to talk us through quickly to the assessments. Now, yes, parents, yes, to our listeners, children are assessed in a grade R classroom. It's done, again, informally. They're not sitting with written formal examinations. But yes, these examinations are also important. If you ladies could please take us through that.
Well, Madam Manga will basically speak to the aspects it's going through in terms of assessments. But one of it is school readiness. There is a school readiness assessment that has to be done. And in fact, currently now this is a time where the school readiness assessment is basically carried out by all grade R educators. And that is important because that gives you the indication whether the child is ready for grade one or not.
Mm-hmm.
So the other aspect is like continuous, like you have said, it is continuous assessments in different aspects, and I'm going to leave it to Madam Manga to take you through to every aspect. So Madam Manga?
I think assessment is just this big word that it's actually supposed to be used by adults only.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a child-friendly word, number one.
Exactly, yeah.
Baby Aisha, think of yourself. When you realized you were writing an exam, what trauma didn't you go through? Right? So why are we putting our 5 and 6 year olds through these, this trauma? They don't need to know those words. They need to know that I need to be at school and I need to do my work and I need to listen. That's what they need to know. Everything, like Madam has said, is continuous. So it may not have been assessed fully today, but tomorrow another portion of it is assessed. Hence, every day is an important day at school for the entire foundation phase. Every aspect of their day at school is an assessment that we know about as professional people. It doesn't mean it has to be formal like we do at high school or like we do in the senior classes.
Mm.
And like I said, we need to move away from that word, assessment.
Anxiety, that mental state of anxiety just sets in and they panic.
And then, I mean, 9 out of 10 times, we as parents, we build up that anxiety in the children for no reason at all.
Yes, most definitely.
You know?
So it's not formal. Assessment is not formal in a grade R class or a nursery class. But the teacher is every day assessing their child, whatever activity the child is busy doing. Whether is while he's doing, he's in a fantasy corner, and he's doing dressing up. Is he able to interact, to elaborate? So she listened to them. Or if she gives them a task to do a painting task, how is he holding the brush? And that type of thing. So that the teacher is assessing all the time. So on a daily basis in a grade R class, the teacher is assessing the child and then can give an informative report at the end of every term to say, okay, when the child started here, the child couldn't do this, but now the child is able to do that.
Yes.
Threading and things like that. Those activities are recorded, so that is the assessment that you take the children through.
I think another thing that we'd just like to discuss is, we parents are not so certain if they're in the sort of catch-22 that my child is age-appropriate, ready for grade one, but I don't know. I think a good telltale sign, like we were just discussing earlier, is their drawings, their written work, especially when they're drawing people.
Yes.
Manga, please elaborate.
Normally, from the professional point of view, is that when we give you an A4 page, you should be able to use the page in its totality. So sometimes you would find children draw a little figure right in a corner. It tells psychologists something. A big head and a small body say something. Those little things. Yes, he can draw the figures. We're not denying that. But it means something else professionally for the professional people. It also means that sometimes some drawings, they are a concern. It tells us also that that's how that person sees themselves. Hence, we always ask little ones, draw yourself.
Yes.
Because we want to know how they see themselves.
A little bit of homework for parents. They can check their children's drawings from January. And, all the letters that they gave you, and maybe you've probably put them on the fridge, with magnets. Just have a look at it. Have a look at it from January to now. See if there's more detail to the drawings, if there's more features. And that will give you a brilliant idea. You'll be amazed, like Ms. Manga said, that the drawings tell you so much about the child's intellectual ability as well as confidence.
And about the child's development.
And about the child's development, that's very true.
But I think some of that development we must leave for the professionals to deal with.
Yes, because sometimes we make these assumptions and then we go to Dr. Google and Professor WebMed and then we diagnose.
And we make our own decisions about it. Yes. So yes, it's good. It's a little bit of background knowledge, yes. That is why we ask children to draw on a page. Sometimes a parent gets annoyed with the fact that my child did draw the picture for you, so what are you making a fuss about? But there's a purpose for where we want the picture to be and what we actually striving for.
Yes.
So some things is just best left to the professionals. And let them deal with it. And like Madam has emphasized, this, when the grade R teacher raises a concern, as parents, listen. Right? And take heed of it. Yes, you're entitled to your second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're entitled to a professional opinion. But take heed of it.
Well, it brings me to my next question, or should I say, gems of advice that we can give to our listeners about working together with your child's educator. It's not them and us. It's supposed to be us and one team. Mr. Mohammed?
Yes. I think that is very, very important. Parents need to work with the educators. Remember, education is You know, the triangle, I'm going to come back to it. It's the parent, the learner, and the educator, which forms a triangle. If you look at, you take a triangle, you have the, you've got the parent there, you've got the learner on the other end, and it completes a complete triangle. So that is what education is about. You can't leave one out of the other. So we all, when it comes to, if we say we want to educate our child, and we need to know that we need to play an active role.
Mm-hmm.
We need to respect the teacher. To say that the teacher is a professional there, the teacher is there to assist you, to guide you, to help your child. And in that way, if we can, if the parent and the educator works together, you're going to find that your child is going to perform better. And there'll be mutual understanding. So between a parent and a child, often parents, children go home and they say, no, we have to do that. And remember, parents, you've had your time with your kids. And then when they come, they go into preschool, and that's the first time they meet someone else, and that someone else becomes so special to them. I know sometimes as parents we feel jealous a little bit because now, mommy, it's not that way. That's the way my teacher's telling me. You don't know, mommy. Accept it. Accept it because it's someone new that has been introduced to them. Respect that, about the teacher, and then just try and work with the teacher. If you need to know anything, find out from the teacher. Use the teacher's guidelines, in terms of assessing. If the teacher tells you, don't do this. I want you only to concentrate on these aspects. That's the reason why the teacher is telling you. Don't jump ahead and go and teach. Because often we find it, the teacher wants to do a concept for number one or maybe two or three, and then the parent goes and go above that and go into right up to 10, and then the child gets confused and things like that. So you need to respect that. Parents need to respect that. There's boundaries, and I need to do what the educator is telling, because then we're going to start confusing the child.
Yeah, most definitely.
So like I said, it is very important. So work with the teacher. It's very important for the parent to work with the teacher. And we find often that there's always problems when the one part of the triangle is broken.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's what we're finding in education, not only in grade R, but also in other grades. When there's a misunderstanding between the educator and the parent, often it affects the child.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
And that's when you come to, often we are responsible for the emotional stages of our children, for the intellectual development of our children. We are to be, we need to take onus on them. We need to be their role model.
Be their role model. Madam Manga, would you like to just add on things?
I think an important aspect, like Madam has said, the triangle is so important. Just like the children come home and say, my Madam said and my Madam did, and my parents get upset, I think it's important for parents to remember also that children come back to school and say, my mommy said,
yes,
my
true.
Daddy said, and my ma did.
Yes.
So, just a little bit of advice to parents that when you skinner about the teachers,
they're going to come back and tell.
They do. So you're entitled to skinner. Yes, we're not saying don't skinner about the teachers. Do it without the children noticing it.
Mm.
It breaks the respect that they could have for their teacher. Yes, there are always differences because it's human nature. When a group of people come together, there's always going to be clashes and differences of opinion and that. And everybody's entitled to that. It's the way we handle it. And that comes back to that question of EQ. How EQ equivalent are we, even as adults, to deal with those situations?
Mm, to deal with conflict and difference of opinion.
Yes.
And for children that are starting grade R, I mean, obviously it's an exciting time in their lives, an exciting time in their parents' lives. A lot of children are in nursery, grade double north. So it's just basically, the progression that's going in the transition. But there's just something special about grade R. When I think about my years of teaching in grade R, when they say, if you see the world through the eyes of a child, you see magic in everything.
That is so true.
And for the parents as well, which parent doesn't want their child to succeed?
Of course.
They want the best for their children. So, like, we have a principal year and a foundation phase head of department urging you, work with your child's teacher. Because you are in it together. It's not them and us, it's us together for the benefit of your child. There was a very interesting message that normally goes in our way. They say the only other person that stays awake all night stressing for your child's success is their child's teacher.
Absolutely. Sure. Definitely. Okay.
Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today in studio. Thank you for the pearls of wisdom that you've shared with me and our listeners. And I look forward to having you back on my hot seat here soon. Inshallah.
Thank you so much, Bibi Aisha, for having us and Radio Islam. We wish you everything of the best. And you're welcome to call on us anytime you need.
Thank you so much, Madam Manga. You know, it took people away from your Saturday morning. But, you know, always imparting knowledge is the best gift ever.
For sure. Thank you so much for having us and all the best to all the great R's and the great ones in 2019.
Thank you so much. Jazakumallahu khairan. For myself, Aisha Lahe, and my engineer, Ziad, we wish you a good week. Inshallah, please remember us in your du'as. Next week, we're going to be talking about something, well, I'm going to say not stressful because it's our attitude towards it. We're going to be talking about getting ready for the matric exams. Remember, matriculants, it's an exam just like any other exam. Do your best, be your best, and inshallah, may Allah grant you success. So please tune in next week and have a good week, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.